As you no doubt are aware, the public airwaves, both radio and television, the broadcast airwaves, are controlled by the Federal Communications Commission, the FCC. And it probably was a wise thing somewhere way back in time. They decided that if you were going to use the public airwaves as a broadcaster, you should do something for the community. So broadcasters are required to have a public service announcement every so often. In other words, to take some of their airtime and to say something of benefit for the communities, not advertising a product, not putting on some entertainment or that sort of thing. Now, we are not under the FCC tonight, but I do want to give you a public service announcement. If you don't mind, we're just going to take about a minute and a half out of our service tonight to give you the following announcement, okay?
It is Thanksgiving, and yes, we are so thankful. As we say grace, we are thankful for the turkey, the stuffing, the pie, and even Aunt Peg's broccoli casserole. On Thanksgiving Day, we are thankful for parades, marching bands, giant blow-up floats. But we will especially be thankful if our team wins the big game. We are also thankful for the special things in life, like our family, our house, our car, and of course, cable television. We are also thankful for the little things, like food, electricity, running water, and 5 a.m. Black Friday sales. But we are a spiritual people. So while in church today, we are also thankful for our pastor, our church family, potluck dinners, and short sermons. But as we look at all the things we have been blessed with, we must ask ourselves, have we missed the point of Thanksgiving? Is Thanksgiving about our blessings, or is it more about the one who has blessed us? Instead of asking, what are we thankful for? Maybe we should be asking, to whom are we thankful? The Bible very clearly describes the act of Thanksgiving. It says, "Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. I will praise God's name in song and glorify him with thanksgiving. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Give thanks to the Lord."
Well, if you have a full gas tank, it only does you any good if at some point you go out, put the key in the ignition, start the engine, put it in first gear or drive or whatever gear you need to, reverse maybe, and you take it out on the road and it takes you from point A to point B. So hopefully we have your tank full with things to be thankful for, ideas to be thankful for, things that we have shared, things we've been reminded of in song, but we're only halfway there. If we don't take time to offer our thanks to God, we're just like having a full tank and nowhere to go. So we can't really do this, and we can't force this. This has to come from the heart. But I just want to take a few moments in the Word tonight as we wrap up. And we have been looking at this over the last 2 weeks on Sunday mornings, and we'll finish this theme preaching-wise Sunday morning, both at our 9 o'clock service or 11 o'clock service here in the sanctuary, and thinking about an attitude of gratitude that we need to give thanks and be thankful. But the actual giving of thanks is something you have to do and something that I have to do, that I have to open my mouth or at least in the privacy of my heart, express my heart and say to our God, thank you for all that stuff I've got a full tank for. And I just want to go through a few very quick verses tonight just to remind us to be thankful. In the little video, and even with the humor and all, it certainly made the point. But there is this phrase that you saw there, and I'm going to just bring it up on the screen one more time. There was this quote that said, "Instead of asking what are we thankful for, maybe we should be asking to whom are we thankful." If we don't address our thanks to God as the giver of all those good things and the good people and the good experiences of life, we haven't really given thanks. I shared with you the last 2 weeks as we've been looking at this subject, both from Romans chapter 1 and last Sunday as we looked at those 10 lepers who were healed, and out of the 10, only one came back to give thanks to God. We are reminded that we got to do a lot more than just talk about thanksgiving. I'm thankful for this. Well, that's only saying you're thankful for something. But we need to spend our time saying, Lord, thank you. And I hope somewhere in your observance or in your time with the Lord, maybe tonight before you go to bed, maybe as part of what goes on tomorrow, that there is a time where you or those that you are with, that you'd pause and we, from a genuine heart, we say thank you to the Lord. I want just to cause you to think for just a moment about 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 13. Where we read these words, and they'll be on the screen as well. Now therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. And I want you to emphasize as you think of that verse, those references back to God. Our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. It has to connect back to God. I love how this statement is made where God's name is described as glorious. I don't think that's a term we would ever feel comfortable if someone just said, boy, you're a glorious person or you have a glorious name, because we know how far short we are of any ideal of humanity, let alone perfection before God. But our God does have a glorious name. You see, it may not have been very long since our last mistake. Here's the bad news. It may not be very long until our next mistake. But God has never yet made a mistake. God has never, ever failed. Sometimes we make promises, and sometimes we break promises. And sometimes we break promises not because we have any intention of breaking a promise, but, you know, I promise I'll be there Friday afternoon, and then life happens and things happen, and suddenly, I just can't be there Friday afternoon. God has never made a promise he hasn't kept 100% of the time. You and I are people of limited strength and limited ability and a very spotty record. But when we come before the God that we thank, we can thank one who has a glorious, glorious, glorious name. Psalm 107, verse 1 says this, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." We need to be thankful. Thankful to whom? To whom are we thankful? We need to make that connection. We need to close the circle and give thanks to God. Why? Because he is good. He is infinitely good. He is completely, perfectly good. We use that term, that's a good person. And probably in the human sense, we could talk about many people who describe that. But really that phrase you see on the screen really ultimately can only be applied to one, and that is our God. And I love that phrase, for his mercy endures forever. I think we probably are all merciful people. We'll give people, other people in our lives, we'll give them a second chance, and we'll give them a third chance, a fourth chance. We maybe even give them a 100th chance. Maybe we'll even give them a 500th chance. But I don't think any of us could say our mercy is eternal. It endures forever. And God's is. Psalm 69 verse 30 says this, "I will praise the name of God with a song." We've already done that. And I love, a couple times even tonight, I just kind of stop singing for a minute because I want to hear your voices. I just love that sound of the collective voices that we can praise him in song. "I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving." I noticed recently there's a coffee table in our home. Sits right in front of our love seat, which is kind of like where my wife and I usually land in our living room, and that's where we usually have devotions in the morning, spend some time in the Word and pray together. And there's some magazines there that we read and some books that we read. It's kind of like the mini library, you know, laid out there. We have stuff that we read on it, and I noticed recently that a magnifying glass appeared on that table. I really haven't asked my wife why that is there, but it's there. It's big old, it's kind of an antique magnifying glass. Maybe that's because it's an antique. But, you know, with a magnifying glass, you make something appear so much bigger. When we magnify the Lord, we can't make him any bigger, but we need to view him as bigger. And the way that we do that, the way that we, in essence, in our view, make God bigger, is to thank him for these things. So we need to thank him. Psalm 100 verse 4 says this, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name." It's our responsibility to take all the things we're thankful for and to take them to the Lord and find the time and set aside our carve out of all the stuff going on and to set aside the time to just offer our thanks to our God. If we do that, the Lord will be magnified. He will be blessed. He will be praised. And he is deserving of all the best that we can offer him. So I trust that your celebration of Thanksgiving, and I'm thankful, one thing I'm thankful for, I'm thankful we live in a country. We have our problems as a country. We have our problems in society. We understand that. It's always been something that we need to work on as a people. And sometimes we get discouraged by all that. But you know what? I'm still thankful that we live in a land that sets aside a day for Thanksgiving. It, in some ways, is probably the most biblical holiday that we observe, because we are commanded to give thanks. I know we honor Christ's birth. That's a very proper thing. But you don't find a verse in Scripture that says, "Thou shalt celebrate Christmas." But you find a lot of verses that say, "You need to be thankful and I need to be thankful." So enjoy this day being thankful.